And man, we're glad you're here. How many are glad to be here today? 2016, I just love a new year. I don't know what it is. Call me shallow, I really don't care. But to me, the new year is just the beginning of some new things. And I believe that God has some great things in store for you and your family, for me and my family, for our church. And I'm just excited to see what God's going to do. I love to close the doors on some things. There's some things in 2015, church, I'm glad to close the door on. Anybody else like that? In fact, I think some of them I slammed the door and talked junk when I did, you know. But 2016, it's new opportunities and it's a new day. And what's in the past, I'm going to get you to turn to two passages today. Philippians chapter 3, I know that's way ahead of where we are in our series, but go there. We're going to launch from there and then go back to an Old Testament story in Joshua chapter 1. But Paul said this, and I don't know if you see, I've got some object lessons today. I've been listening to my own preaching online, and it's pretty bad, so I figured I'd use some props. Maybe it'll help it. But the theme of our year is something I've been praying that God would just reveal in my own heart. And what do we need at New Life Church? And what does Pastor Scott need? And the truth is, if I could just say it in three words, I would say what we need is to... we need to step it up. We need to step it up. Hey, by the way, thank the Lord, I have two shoes that match, amen? And neither one, they're not boots either. I mean, they're dress shoes. And don't be afraid when I climb this ladder. I promise, honey, I'll be careful. Give me a couple weeks, I'll climb to the top. But today I'm going to talk to you about stepping it up. Because let's be honest, if we were to stand before God and be honest in heaven today, every one of us in some area of our life could step it up. Every area. There's not one person here, and by the way, if you're here, you're only there in your mind, right? Because the Apostle Paul said, he said in verse 13 of chapter 3, he said, I have not attained, I'm not writing these things to you, as if I've obtained. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or attained. He said, I haven't climbed all the way to the top. I haven't reached the top rung on the ladder, as it were. I'm not there yet. In fact, truth be known, if we know the Bible, the only time that we get there is when we get to heaven. And so if you're not in heaven yet, newsflash. This isn't good English, but it's good preaching. You ain't there. You're somewhere here. And I want to talk to you about wherever you are, whether you're on the ground level of some things. I want to encourage you today to make a commitment to God that before you leave, I want to encourage you, no matter where you are, I want to encourage you to get from where you are and take a step up. Step it up. He said, I have not apprehended. I have not attained, as it were. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. 2015, wham! The door is closed. And you know the Apostle Paul had some things to forget. I mean, he was a persecutor of the church. He was a murderer. He had run from God in the name of religion. And yet he said, those things I've chosen to forget about. Those things I've chosen to forget those things behind and reach forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark. And in our series of the book of Philippians, we'll get there eventually. But what he's saying is, I'm willing to grind forward knowing that God has called me to things ahead, not things behind. Some of us in 2015, we've taken a step down. We're not as faithful to church. We don't read our Bible as much. We don't pray. I mean, you remember, and by the way, it's almost like an elevator sometimes. After revival, we're up here. Don't freak out, I'm all right. After revival, we're here, and then all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, we're here. Make a commitment to God, a couple weeks later, we're here. And then before you know it, if there was a level below this, we'd be there. And I just want to tell you today, wherever you are, it's time to step it up. I made a resolution call it what you will, a commitment to the Lord, a covenant, that in my life, in the areas of my life, I'm going to step it up. As a Christian, I'm going to step it up. I've made a commitment to the Lord, not to you, not to my wife, not to my ordaining council, not to the Free Will Baptist denomination, but to the Lord, that I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to go deeper in the Word of God. I'm going to let the Word of God become more alive to me than I ever have in my life. That's my commitment to God. And you understand something, that takes time, doesn't it? I was reading, and don't want to get ahead of myself, but I was reading some time back, and a guy wrote a blog, and he wrote it actually nearly 2 years ago. But he was writing a blog, The Most Important Skill of 2014, and in his blog, he talked about in 2014, our hyper-overwhelmed, affluent, media-saturated culture, the scarce resource in our culture, he says, is our attention. Listen to this. I thought it interesting. He said, we are overwhelmed with information because of Google. We are overwhelmed with relationships because of Facebook. John Piper, he said, in regards to this, he said, one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove that in the last days, prayerlessness was not because of a lack of time. We spend hours tweeting and spend hours on Facebook, and yet we spend 3 or 4 minutes with God in prayer. It's not because of a lack of time, it's because of a lack of priority. He said, we're overwhelmed with relationships because of Facebook. We're overwhelmed with interruptions because of our phones. We're overwhelmed with videos because of YouTube. We're overwhelmed with music because of iTunes. And we're overwhelmed with TV because of Netflix. He said, we're overwhelmed, and all the while we have lost our focus on what God has called us to do. And in so many words in his blog, he said, it's time to step it up. It's time to step it up. He said, I press toward the mark, Paul did, for the prize of the high calling of God. And I've made a resolution to the Lord, to my God, a covenant with my God, a commitment to my Savior to step it up as a Christian, to read my Bible more, to pray more. I believe our church in the fall of 2015 probably together learned as much about prayer as we ever have before and the power of it. And that's why tonight we'll talk about these cottage prayer meetings that we will have every single month. And week, every week, we're having somebody open their home and we're meeting together to pray. Why? Because we as a church and I as an individual, I've got to step it up when it comes to praying. In evangelism and outreach and a passion for lost souls. I've made a commitment as a Christian. I'm going to step it up. But listen, I also made a commitment to the Lord. But I make it publicly to my wife. I need to step it up as a husband. Now, there are some days where I do feel like I'm here as a husband. There's been one day in 15 years I felt like that, maybe. Well, maybe two. But the truth is, I've got a lot of steps to take to be a better husband to that lady up there. And for those that are visiting, I'm pointing at my wife, okay? I've made a commitment to the Lord to be a better husband, to step it up as a husband. I've made a commitment to the Lord to step it up as a daddy. God's given us 5 wonderful gifts as a couple. From 14 to 4, and I'm not going to waste it. In order to step it up, one of the things that it's going to take is time. And church, I got bad news for you. To give them more time means to take a little bit of time away from you. They'll be out of the house one day, then you'll be stuck with me. But in these precious days that I have with my kids, I need to step it up as a daddy. They're hungering for daddy's time. Over the last few months, I have been prayerfully considering it myself as a preacher, and I know there's some things about even my preaching I got to step it up. I did it today. I brought ladders. I even used an object lesson Wednesday night. I don't know if in 15 years I've ever used 2 services back-to-back where I used object lessons. So here you go. I'm stepping it up. But as a preacher, I want to know more about God's Word. I want to stand behind this pulpit like I never have before with the anointing of God on my life. I need to step it up as a preacher. I need to step it up as a pastor. And I want you to know something, that I'm saying all of these in order, by the way. Because my first priority is God. Your first priority is God. My second priority is my wife. Is the second greatest relationship that God has ever given me. The only one that trumps my relationship with Christy is my relationship with Jesus. And then as a daddy to Mackenzie and Kelsey and to Micah and Caden and Matthew. And then as a preacher, because I do believe preaching the gospel is even a trump card over pastoring the body, heralding the message of God. And now as a pastor, to be an under-shepherd to those that God has called me to. There's several other areas of my life, and I just want you to know something. I'm willing. This is not just a theme for our church, but I am willing with all of my heart and ready to step it up. To step it up. Paul talked about stepping it up in the book of Philippians, but in the book of Joshua, we find an opportunity to step it up. Go to Joshua chapter 1. And let me say to you that resolutions are nothing new. In fact, Jonathan Edwards in the 1700s, a preacher, a theologian, a missionary, who was credited by many as being a major part of the first great awakening, he wrote, when he was in his early 20s, he wrote 70 different resolutions for his life. I won't read all of them, but I'll read a couple of them to you as you're turning to Joshua 1. He wrote things like, and by the way, he was committed to reading through all 70 of these. He was committed to all 70 of these. Number one, he said, I resolve, Jonathan Edwards, that there be something of benevolence in all that I speak. There be something of benevolence in all that I speak. Everything that I speak, everything that I say, that it would be a gift to somebody. That it would be filled with charity and kindness. He said, I, Jonathan Edwards, be resolved that if I ever shall feel pain, then I think of those that are in pain because of martyrdom, or those that are in pain that are living eternally in hell. He said, I, Jonathan Edwards, be resolved that if I ever fall or grow dull, and by the way, how many of us have ever fallen dull to a commitment we've made to God? He said, if I ever shall fall and grow dull so as to neglect to keep any part of these resolutions, I then, when I come to myself, will fully repent and turn back to God. And I hope and pray that with these resolutions, whatever resolutions you've made, maybe it's to lose some weight, or maybe it's to get in shape, or maybe it's to be a good, better steward of your money, or maybe it's to read the Word of God more, or maybe it's to go around and share the gospel at every opportunity. We were talking at our Bible study on Thursday, and to be a better witness, that's a great resolution, but may we also say that if I step it up, that if at any point that I step down, as God brings me back, that I'll fully repent of it and keep stepping forward for Him. Sometimes we go back on a resolution, you know what we do? We pout for the rest of the year because we blew it. I'm glad I serve a God of second chances. Here in the story of Joshua, I got so much I want to tell you, I don't have time, but this story is a wonderful book. The book of Joshua unfolds as Joshua is getting ready to step up to the plate, as it were. It is time for him to become the leader of Israel, as a military leader, as a political leader, and a spiritual leader. The book of Joshua, Francis Schaeffer said, he called it a bridge book because Joshua was the bridge, as it were, between the years of Israel's unsettled wanderings in the desert and their settling down in the land of promise. The book of Joshua is an interesting book. It's one of those special class books. Joshua is the first of such named after its main character. And the book denotes the transition of the patriarchal age to the age of settling down and occupying the land of Canaan. But before we get to Joshua 1, we've been introduced many times to this character named Joshua. I don't have time to read all of it, but in Exodus chapter 17, the very first mention of Joshua, we find Moses telling Joshua to choose him out men and to go fight the Amalekites. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the mountain. And you know the story, that as Moses' hand stayed in the air, that Israel prevailed. But what happened? Moses' hands got heavy. And they started to fall. And so Aaron and Hur brought a rock for Moses to be able to sit on. And Moses sat there. And Aaron on one side and Hur on the other side, they lifted up the hands of Moses. And they strengthened his hands. And the Bible says that as his hands were in the air, that the Israel and the army of Israel prevailed. And Joshua discomfited the Amalekites. Now, by the way, just a side turn a little bit. I do believe that the more you lift up the hands of God's leaders, the stronger God's army is. And yet you see Joshua leading in Exodus 17. Exodus 32, Moses is coming down from the top of Mount Sinai. He's been there for 40 days with God. He's met with God. God has given him the Ten Commandments. God, the Bible says, with God's own writings, has engraved in that tablet on the front and the back those commandments for his people. And as Moses descends from the top of the mountain, and about the middle of the mountain, there stands Joshua. Now, and by the time chapter 32 comes around, Joshua is kind of his right-hand man. He's already proven himself as a military leader. He will prove himself as a political leader, and there's no doubt he was a spiritual man. And when Moses comes down, Joshua said, "Moses, I don't know what's going on down there, but it sounds like war to me." And man, was he right. It wasn't a physical war, it was a spiritual war. When they went down, they found the children of Israel, led by Moses' brother himself. They were down there naked, dancing in front of a golden image, worshiping something that they had made with their earrings and their own jewelry. And we see in chapter 17, Joshua leading an army, but in chapter 32, Moses, he wasn't where Moses was. Moses was where God was. Moses was worshiping God, but Joshua was already head and shoulders above the people. He wasn't involved in the idolatry. Then we skip a few chapters and books to chapter 14 of the book of Numbers, where Moses and Aaron, the Bible says, fell on their face. Before God, they were begging the people to go into the promised land. They sent spies into the land, and all the spies came back with the exception of two and gave a bad report. All they wanted to do was to focus on the giants. And yet there was a man by the name of Caleb and a man by the name of, say it with me, Joshua. They came back and said, "It's a good land. It's everything that God said it was. It's the land of promise. It's the land to be possessed." And he says, if the Lord delights in us, we can take the land. This was in Numbers 14. Well, you know the story. That was early in the wandering. They didn't go. They listened to the 10, not the 2. So they wandered around for 40 years, a journey that should have taken just mere months. They wandered around for 40 years because they disobeyed a direct command of God. They ceased to be receptive to the promise of God. And because of that, they wandered for 40 years and an entire generation died. Except, Numbers chapter 26 verse 65 says, "For the Lord had said unto them, they shall surely die in the wilderness, and there was not left a man of them, of that generation, save Caleb and," say it with me, "Joshua." Numbers 27. The visible passing of the torch, as it were. The crowning deed of Moses in passing his leadership to another man. Numbers 27, verse 18, the Bible says, "The Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar and the priest, and before the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, and all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient." He was pretty much telling them, I'm getting ready to pass off the scene, and this is the next guy. This is the guy that's going to have to step it up in my stead. And then we find Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, saying. He comes to Joshua and says the next few verses, hey Joshua, Moses is dead. It's on you now. No wonder he says over and over again in this passage, things like verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance this land, which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. What was God saying? God came to Joshua and said this, Joshua, now's time. Now's the time. Joshua, you're up. It reminds me of a story I once read about a man who absolutely loved the game of baseball. Every chance he got, he went to the ballpark and supported his local team. He watched baseball games on television every chance he got. He was always interested in the scores, knew the stats. His lifelong dream was to play on a team. And he said, he always told people, when I get to heaven, I'm going to play on heaven's baseball team. He got to a point where he wasn't feeling good, and he decided to go to the doctor. And one day at the doctor, they had run some tests, and the doctor came in and said, well, he says, I have some bad news and some good news. He told him, he said, Frank, he said, which one do you want first? Frank said, well, give me the good news first. He said, okay. The doctor said, well, you're finally going to get your wish. You're going to get to play on heaven's baseball team after you die. And that's some kind of news you get from a doctor, right? What he always told people, I just hope that when I get to heaven, I get to play on their baseball team. The doctor knew, and the doctor said, well, the good news is you're going to get to finally play on heaven's baseball team. Frank said, that's great, Doc. What's the bad news? The doctor said, you're batting cleanup tomorrow night. Well, if you got that or not. He was going to die. It was soon. The doc was saying, your time's up. It's time to step up to the plate. I remember as a seventh grader playing basketball on a JV basketball team, and all I wanted to do that year was just get a jersey. I didn't care if I played or not. Trinity for years and years was loaded with talent, and I was just excited about growing and learning and getting a jersey. And I remember first time the coach, first game, looked down the bench. He never called me Scott. That'd be too easy. He said, Coghill, you're in. I was like, I don't want to be in. I just wanted a jersey. What's funny is that happened to my daughter. I'm coaching our girls' basketball team, and we were playing at Gramercy, and it was kind of getting rough in there, and we had somebody get hurt, and then we had somebody get in foul trouble, and I looked down, and I said, Kenzie, come here. You got to go in. She says, I don't want to go in. Can't they go in? No, you're in. God said, Joshua, it's time. Joshua knew it, and that's okay as long as Moses is there. But now Moses is dead, and now you're the leader. And it's time to step it up, Moses, or Joshua. It's time to step it up. You say, Pastor, when do we step it up? I think Joshua teaches us this through his life. Number one, I want to encourage you today, use your opportunities that God affords you to step it up. You say, opportunities. What opportunity has God given me to step it up? How many of you are here today? Raise your hand. There's an opportunity. Some of you are like, oh, I don't know if I am or not. That's an opportunity. God has allowed you to live one more day. So guess what God wants you to do with this day? He wants you to step it up. God, this week is going to give you an opportunity to meet people. And guess what He wants you to do? He wants you to step it up. This afternoon, you're going to have a choice to make. Go watch hours of football or to open God's Word and step it up. This was an opportunity for Joshua. He said, Joshua, listen, I know that this is scary. No wonder he said, fear not and be courageous and I'm going to be with you. I know it's frightening, but it is your time. This is an opportunity for you to step it up. Think of this. You are now, Joshua, the leader of God's people. What an incredible door God had opened for Joshua. He was giving Joshua an opportunity to step it up. Number one, use your opportunities to step it up. Number two, I love this, use your challenges to step it up. I mean, what was so challenging, you might ask? Well, first of all, there was a challenge of leading so many people. I want you to know something. Leading people is not easy. Some of you, in fact, most of you, I know I'm guilty too, we have problems with leading ourselves. Much less people. Can you imagine 3 million Israelites leading them, cattling them to the promised land? It was a challenge of so many people. Number two, I think this is a legitimate challenge. That was the challenge of leading beyond Moses' shadow. I mean, I bet you can imagine how many times Joshua heard this. Well, Moses never did it like that. Moses was nicer to us. Moses had a shepherd's staff. Where's your staff at? Moses. Because it was Moses that told that story when God came to him and said, yeah, there was a burning bush and God spoke my name. I mean, that was supernatural. Can you imagine? Let's go talk to Moses. Let's talk to him about the backside of the desert. Oh, you remember when Moses threw that staff on the ground, it turned into a snake? Yeah, let's go talk to Moses. It was Moses that stood face to face with Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. He had a stuttering problem. It was Moses. It was Moses that stood in front of the Red Sea, like Charlton Heston, right? And the Bible says as he lifted up the staff of God, the waters parted and went hither and thither, right? That was Moses. It was Moses that spoke to the rock and water came out. It was Moses that called out to the heavens and there fell Krispy Kreme donuts from the sky. It was Moses. Joshua, what have you done? I mean, can you imagine trying to lead in the shadow of Moses? What a challenge. The challenge of leading so many people, the challenge of leading beyond the shadow of Moses, the challenge of this, and you hear this, and you hear this well, the challenge of leading a group of people that were hard-hearted and stiff-necked. Millions of them. Hard-hearted, stiff-necked. They're mentioned again in chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. You even had 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, that did not even want to go to the promised land. Seriously? And here's Joshua trying to lead these people. And Joshua's like, I don't know if I want this job. And you can even sense him buckling under the weight or the pressure of what God had called him to do. What a challenge. Some of you, God's put some challenges in your life this year. Some of you, God's put a physical challenge in your life where you haven't been as healthy. Some of you, God's put a financial challenge in your life. Some of you, God's put a a marital challenge in your life where your marriage isn't hitting on all cylinders. In fact, it won't even crank up. Some of you, you've got a challenge at work or maybe it's something internal where you're struggling with a personal challenge. And I'm telling you, Satan's desire with that challenge is to bury you. But God's design is to build you up. It reminds me of the story, the old parable that I heard about the old farmer that had a mule. The mule fell into the farmer's well. And here's this old farmer with no education looking at the well and looking at this mule in the well. And he thought to himself, this old mule and this old well, neither one of them are worth the hassle of trying to get that mule out. So he called his neighbors over for some help. He says, I tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to bury the mule and fill up the well. So as he decided to do that, you can just imagine as that dirt started coming over the side into that deep well and started hitting that mule went crazy. Hysterical. And yet the more dirt that they flung in, finally the mule kind of got something and the dirt would hit his back and it would be heavy and it was falling from a long way and the dirt would hit the back of the mule and the mule would shake the dirt off and then the dirt would fall off to the sides and the mule would stomp on it. And every time the dirt would hit the mule's back, he'd shake it off and stomp on it. And the more dirt that came down, the higher the mule went up. And that's exactly what God wants to allow these challenges in your life, that when it comes over the side and it's hitting you in the back and Satan wants to bury you with it, God wants you to shake it off and step on it and build yourself up. Even with challenges, it's time to step it up. It's not time to back down, Joshua. Joshua, you've been climbing this ladder for some time. And I know you feel the weight of all this pressure right now, but Joshua, it's not time to step down. It's time to step it up, even with the challenges. When do we step it up? When God gives us opportunities. When do we step it up in the face of challenges? When do we step it up? When God gives us second chances. How many have ever gotten a second chance from God? This was a second chance, and we don't have time to look at it, but I believe this is a second chance for Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh to say, look, you don't have to stay on this side. We're going over. You can come with us. If you'll read further in the chapter, you'll see them reminding Joshua. You remember what Moses said? Moses said, we could stay. We'll go over and help you possess the land, but we're coming back here. I think it was a second chance to them, but I also think it was a second chance for this generation to redeem themselves in the sight of God, where the last generation did not. In the face of second chances, God is giving some of you a second chance right now. Some of you made a mess of 2015. God is giving you a second chance right now to step it up. To step it up. You say, what areas do we step it up in? Well, I'll come back and preach this, maybe even some tonight. I think in this passage, you see, we need to step it up in our confidence and our commitment to the Word of God. Confidence in God's calling, commitment to the Word of God, and continuance in obedience to His voice. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe according to all the law of God, which Moses thy servant commanded thee, turn not to the right or left. We need to step it up in our commitment to God's Word. We need to step it up in our confidence to God's calling. God said, hey, I called you to this. I'm going to be with you. God's called some of you to do certain things, and you are so afraid to get on that ladder. Just like I'm sure Peter was when he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, well, come on. He's like, oh, I was hoping it wasn't you. The Bible says that Peter got out of that boat and by faith started walking on the water. Can I say this? Sometimes stepping up really means stepping out on faith. Well, you got to trust God. God, I'm going to trust you that if I take this step up, that you're going to hold me. And you're going to guide me. Is it making sense? It's time to step it up. May I say this to our older generation? If you'll give me just a few more minutes, I'll take every second. David Mathis in a book, A Better Country for Old Men, said this, and I quote, he said, to you older generation, I'm not going to point at you because you'll get mad at me. He said, from a young generation, from a millennial generation standpoint, to you baby boomers, to you older folks, he said, we desperately need you. Please don't phone it in just when the king's about to call. Don't retire on the world's terms and abandon your longtime local church. He said this, he says, as the tsunami of the baby boom begins to flood to the shores of retirement, please don't leave us millennials to fend for ourselves to make some of the same old mistakes that you once made. He said, for your joy and for our good, we need you in this family we call the church. We need your experience. You have made a long journey. Watch fads come and go. Help us be courageous when we should be brave. And gently direct us to a different course when we should back off. We need your example. The young bucks need your discipling and encouragement to be self-controlled. We need your forgiveness. In our fervor to create the future, we often have seen things out of focus. And at times, in our naive sense, we need a generation to come alongside us to help us step it up. But to step it up right. We need you. May I speak to every generation here, those that are on the last quarter of your life. Sometimes you think, well, I'm in the last quarter of my life. I've been climbing for a long time. And you think, you know what? It's time to start climbing down. No, it's not. I don't care how old you are. If God gave you breath, listen to me. You got to keep stepping up. How am I doing, Daniel? I'm doing good. It's time to start stepping up. But may I say to my generation, who has not had all that much time to climb, may I say to you that those that have been climbing for years are passing off the scene. And the question is, who's going to take their place? Who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to be the Joshua for the Moses? And I'm talking to my generation. It's time that we step it up and start becoming the leaders. It's time that we step it up and start taking more financial responsibility for the work of God. It's time that we step it up and start serving at a greater rate. It's time that we step it up and start sacrificing more. It's time that we step it up and stop making excuses about why we can't and allow God to walk alongside us to show us how we can. New Life Church, this is not the year to step back. This is the year to step it up. Wherever you are, if you're on the ground level, step it up. If you're on the first step, step it up. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are today, just step it up. Wherever you finish 2015, be resolved in your heart that I'm going to step it up for God's glory. I'm going to step it up for the glory of God. I'm going to step it up to get the gospel to the globe. I'm going to step it up to see the growth in the body of Christ. I'm going to step it up. I'm going to step it up as a Christian. I'm going to step it up as a spouse. I'm going to step it up as a parent. I'm going to step it up in whatever God's called you to do. Church, it is time to step it up. Are you willing and ready to step it up? Father, I pray that just something that has been said today from your word will have moved upon the heart of your people. Help us not to be satisfied with where we are, but help us to have purpose in our heart that 2016 is going to be a year filled with climbing, growing, progressing forward for God. Minister to our hearts during this invitation. Holy Spirit, take a radical control right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You're a Christian here, and you'd say, Pastor, in 2016, I want to step it up. I'm a Christian, and before God in 2016, I want to step it up. If that's you, would you lift your hand and lift it high? 2016, I want to step it up. That's what I want you to do. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. If you raised your hand and you meant business with God right now, don't you wait. You get around this altar and say, oh God, those areas of my life that you've just revealed to me, God, help me to step it up. Help me not to back up, to backslide, to be apathetic or satisfied. Help me to step it up. If you can't find a space on this altar, you get one of these first few pews and you use it as your altar right now. God spoke to your heart. You know where you are. You haven't been faithful to God. It's all right. Close the door on it. But now it's time to step it up. You've been going through a lot. 2015, just soon be a year you forget. You know what? You can. But right now, I want you to, wherever you are, whatever step of this ladder you are, I want you to be committed to stepping it up. You got too much potential to stay where you are. God's got higher ground for you. Step it up. It's your choice. Last question, and we're going to pray. You're here and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I were to die today, I would die unprepared. Would you please pray for me? I need to be saved. Nobody's looking around. This is between me, you, and God. Would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, please pray for me. I need to be saved. I'm not ready to meet God. Anybody? Please pray for me. Now, Father, you see these that are kneeled here and those kneeling at their seats. God, more importantly, you see those that are kneeling in their heart. God, I pray that 2016 will be a supernatural year. God, that we'll see the radical, powerful, almighty hand of God doing things that we cannot even imagine in and through our lives. But Lord, we have a choice. Much like Isaiah when he heard the call from heaven, whom shall we send and who will go for us? He said, here am I. There was a willingness, there was an obedience, there was a choice. God, help us make the choice. The choice to step it up. For the glory of God, for the gospel to the globe, for the growth of the body of Christ. God, help us to step it up. We pray in Jesus' name.